You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
I think we can all acknowledge that this has been a time of uncertainty. If there's one word that I would use to describe the time that we're living right now, I would use the word uncertain. I know many of you have questions, what's going to happen? How long are things going to be crazy like they are right now? What's going to happen to my job? You know, what's going to happen to the economy? What's going to happen to my kids with their schooling, in their education? I know the million-dollar question that's on all of our minds, where can I buy toilet paper? Can I get an amen, somebody? Where can I find toilet paper? The question that we're all asking today. And I think one of the things that contributes to our sense of anxiety is the information overload. You know, it's amazing the speed of updates and the news alerts and just the overwhelming amount of information that's coming at us on social media. And some of it's misinformation. And I think this bombardment, this constant bombardment of information, it can lead to a sense of overload. And I know some of you have some really legitimate concerns. For some of you, maybe you're really concerned about getting sick and catching this virus, or what would happen to your elderly loved ones, or maybe you know someone who's really susceptible to this virus, and there's a real sense of concern, and all of this can lead to an overwhelming sense of anxiety and fear. But we know that 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And so the question is, how do we experience that? During a time like this, how do we experience a sound mind? How do we experience the peace of God? And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Last week, we began a new teaching series called Jesus Is. And what we're doing is, between now and Easter, we're taking a fresh look at the life of Jesus. We're talking about who he is and the difference that he makes in our lives. And so each week we're filling in this phrase, Jesus Is, with a different phrase. And so today I want to talk to you about how Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our peace. I want us to look at a portion of scripture from the Gospel of John, chapter 16. Let me just set this up for you. This is during the Passion Week, during the Last Supper, before Jesus is about to be arrested and tried and crucified. And so Jesus is spending time with his disciples, and he begins to prepare them for what's about to happen. He tells them, "I'm about to go back to the Father. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit as a counselor, as a comforter, but things are about to change." And so he begins to prepare the disciples. Let's look at this. John chapter 16, verses 32 through 33. Jesus says this to his disciples: "A time is coming, in fact, has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home." We can resonate with that today. Come on, we're scattered, each to our own home. But he's talking about his arrest. "You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me." That's a word for somebody this morning. You're not alone. The Father is with you. And so we know that when Jesus was arrested by the religious leaders, all of the disciples scattered. Look at what Jesus said in verse 33. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Now Jesus, earlier in this chapter, has just finished telling the disciples some really difficult things. He tells them, "You're going to experience persecution. They're going to put you out of the synagogue. People are going to try to kill you. I'm leaving you. I'm going back to the Father. You're going to be scattered." Yet in verse 33, Jesus tells them, "I've told you these things so that you might have peace." Like, the point of me telling you all of this is that you might experience peace. And the question is, why would this cause the disciples to experience peace? I don't know about you, but when I get bad news, it doesn't usually cause me to experience peace. You know, imagine, if you will, the authorities saying to us, "We all got to self-quarantine because you're all going to die from the coronavirus. And we're just telling you this so that you can have some peace of mind." I don't know about you, but bad circumstances don't usually give me peace of mind. You know, what if your employer were to come to you and say, "Well, we just want to let you know you're going to be laid off, but we're just giving you a heads up so you can have peace of mind"? Can you imagine the doctor coming to you and saying, the diagnosis is you have cancer, and we just want to let you know so you can have peace during this time. Why would this cause the disciples to have peace of mind? It's a really good question, right? Because if peace has to do with circumstances, then the disciples are in trouble in this situation because things are about to get difficult. And that's our problem. Naturally, we tend to think that we'll be at peace when everything's good. We tend to base peace on circumstances. Like, I'll be good. When I have enough money in the bank, I'll have peace of mind. You know, when all of my relationships are good, when I find that perfect somebody, that perfect person who's going to come into my life and all of my problems are going to go away, when I find that relationship, I'll finally be at peace. When I get that promotion, when I get to a certain place in my career, I'll finally experience peace. If I could just get away, if I could get a vacation, I would experience some peace and quiet. If I could get away from all these negative people, I would have peace. If I could just turn off the news from all this constant bombardment from the coronavirus, I would experience peace. I might advise some of you to do that. But we tend to think of peace that way. We tend to think of peace as the absence of adversity and conflict. You know, think about world peace or give peace a chance. It's the absence of conflict. But when Jesus talks about peace, he's talking about something really different. He's talking about the biblical idea of peace. And the biblical idea of peace is represented by this Hebrew word, shalom. Everybody say that with me, shalom. This is one of those words, when you study it, you really get a lot of bang for your buck because it's a beautiful word. Shalom is not merely the absence of conflict. It's the presence of the goodness of God. It's wholeness. It's completeness. It's not the absence of adversity. It's not the absence of conflict. It's the presence. It's the wholeness. It's the goodness of God so that you can experience peace even in the midst of adversity. And so earlier, in this chapter, when Jesus tells the disciples that he's going back to the Father, it actually created some anxiety in them. They began saying, what does he mean he's going back to the Father? What does he mean in a little while he's going to leave? It didn't give them peace right away. But Jesus says in verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. See, Jesus didn't comfort his disciples by telling them that they would never face fear, that they would never face anxiety or discomfort or difficult circumstances. In fact, he actually guarantees them they're going to face trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. So we shouldn't be surprised when we face adversity. How many of you discovered when you became a Christian that all of your problems didn't automatically go away? And so Jesus doesn't calm his disciples by telling them that they'll never face difficult circumstances, that they'll never face fear. He calms them by telling them that peace is a person, that peace is, it's not a feeling, it's not a speculation, it's not based on the news of what is to come or what's going to happen, what's not going to happen. It's not based on circumstances, but peace is a person. Peace comes to us in the form of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus is our peace. Aren't you glad to know that peace isn't based on circumstances, because circumstances change? Peace comes to us if you're a follower of Christ in the form of a person, the person of Jesus Christ. So he says to his followers, and I believe he's saying to you and me today, so that in me you might have peace, because circumstances are going to change, but you can place your trust in the one thing that's not going to change, in me, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so the question is, how do we experience peace in the midst of uncertainty? How do we experience this? I want to invite you to take some notes today. Take out a pen and paper, your phone, and jot down a few of these ideas today. How do we experience the peace of God in the midst of uncertainty? Number one, we hold on to the promises of God's word. We hold on to the promises of God's word. Look at what Jesus said in verse 33. He said, I have told you these things. I have told you these things. See, Jesus understood that at some point in time, the disciples were going to need to remember what he had told them. Things were about to get chaotic. He was about to be arrested by the religious leaders. He was going to be tried. He was going to be crucified. He knew the disciples were going to scatter. They would eventually regroup back together. And they would need to remember. They would need confidence in the fact that he had told them these things were going to happen. And so we have to hold on to the promises of God's word. When you're going through a time of uncertainty, you have to have a sense where you remember, God, I want to remember what you spoke to me. I'm holding on to what you you've spoken to me. I'm holding on to what I've read in your word. I'm holding on to the promises of scripture, what you've spoken in my spirit. God, I want to remember what it is that you've said to me. You know, you don't get peace by feeding your mind with negative thoughts. You don't experience peace by entertaining the worst case scenarios. And we do that sometimes. Sometimes we find ourselves entertaining the what ifs of life. Well, what if I get sick, you know, and die? What if something happens to someone that I love? What if I lose my job? What if the economy falls apart? What if? Sometimes we end up, you know, placing our faith in the what ifs of life, because fear isn't just the absence of faith. Sometimes fear is just reverse faith. It's placing our faith in the wrong things. And so you don't find peace in entertaining all of these negative thoughts. You don't get peace by filling your mind with the hysteria and constant bombardment of the news surrounding the coronavirus. Some of you need to get off of social media. Some of you need to take a break from the constant bombardment of the news surrounding the situation. Now, yes, you need to be informed. Yeah, there are some smart things we all need to do, but you don't need to let it consume every waking moment, every thought of your life. See, anxiety grows when we focus on messages that fuel fear. That's how anxiety grows, when we focus on messages that have the potential to fuel fear in our lives. And what happens is when we start to create these false narratives in our minds, we actually begin to believe them as if they're true, and we begin to live like they're their truth. And so this has happened to me before. In just one moment, someone can speak a negative word that strikes fear in my heart, and I can begin to entertain scenarios, what ifs, that don't even end up happening. And that's what we do sometimes. But we know that we don't trust in those things. We place our trust in the truth of God's word. And so if this is happening to you right now, if you're struggling with fear and anxiety and being overwhelmed by all of these thoughts, it's time to silence those voices by tuning in to the voice of Jesus Christ, who is speaking over your life love and grace and faith and healing. Come on, sometimes you got to preach to your fears. Sometimes you got to speak the word of God back to your fears. So right now, if you're feeling alone, you got to speak back to that sense, and you have to say, I know that my God shall never leave me nor forsake me. I'm not alone. If you're struggling with a sense of fear right now, you got to preach to your fear. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. God, how am I going to provide for my family? What happens if I lose my job? How am I going to pay these bills? I know that my God shall supply all my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. What if I get sick or someone I love gets sick? God, I thank you that you are the God that heals, and by your stripes I'm healed. Sometimes you got to preach to your fears. And so we got to hold on to the promises of God's word. If you want to experience his peace during a time of uncertainty, you got to hold on to something that is certain. Hold on to the promises of God's word, church. Here's the second thing. How do we experience peace in the midst of uncertain times? Number two, remain in Christ. Come on, at home, just say that phrase with me. In Christ. Remain in Christ. Verse 33 says, so that in me, Jesus said, so that in me you may have peace. Like, peace is found only if you stay in me. Jesus knew that his disciples could actually experience peace despite all that they were about to go through, the persecution and their scattering and this fearful time. He knew that they could actually experience peace if they remained in him, trusting in him, abiding in his presence, as the scripture says, staying full of faith in him, staying connected to the presence of God. And so that's what we do. All throughout scripture, we see that the people of God have learned to abide in the presence of God, even in the midst of uncertain times. We trust in the unchanging love of God, even though we live in a changing world. And so what happens is, sometimes we drift toward putting our trust in other things. And when we put our hope in things that change, we end up losing our peace. Sometimes we end up putting our hope and our trust in our finances, or in our job, or in other people, and certain things. And what happens is, when those things change, then we end up losing our peace. And Jesus says, you have to remain in me. It's like, I picture Jesus being like a lifeboat in the middle of these swirling and crazy circumstances out in a storm. And Jesus is saying, if you want peace, you got to stay in me. How many of you have discovered in the past couple weeks that circumstances can change quickly? Come on, how many of you had some plans the past few weeks that have been impacted? Like you planned on going into the office this week. you didn't plan on working from home. You planned on dropping your kids off at school and your kids are home. Like you planned on taking that business trip or taking that vacation and your plans got rearranged. I had a couple that I was supposed to be officiating their wedding just next weekend. And they had to cancel and postpone and move their wedding to the summer due to this crisis. I can tell you, when they booked that venue and they started spending money and sending out invitations and making all of the plans that they were making for the biggest day of their lives, they weren't planning on the coronavirus. Circumstances can change really quick. And so it's so important for us to prioritize building our lives on the foundation of Jesus Christ. It's such a big deal. You know, I'm thinking back during this time about Amy and I in our early years of our marriage back when we were living in Louisiana back in 2005, and we were buying our first home. We lived in a condo complex during that time, and the owners that we rented from didn't want to sell to us, so we were buying our neighbor's condo. And we were so excited to be buying our first place as a young couple and to be fixing it up and renovating it. And our closing date was actually August 29th, 2005. Now that date doesn't mean much to many of you, but that was the day that Hurricane Katrina hit the New Orleans area. And we had no idea when we were making plans, you know, when we were applying for a loan to get a mortgage, and when we were picking out paint colors and dreaming of renovating our first place and getting ready for that closing date. Little did we know that a major hurricane, you know, the most catastrophic hurricane ever, was about to hit our hometown and upend our lives and the lives of people we loved for months. And we learned quickly that things can change. We learned quickly as a young couple during that time and pastoring people during that time, we learned quickly that you better place your faith, you better build the foundation of your life in Christ, because circumstances and plans around us can change quickly. We learned a really valuable lesson during that time, that our foundation is in Christ. It's in Christ. And so circumstances can change, but we prioritize our lives around God's purpose for our lives, His priorities for our lives, His principles for our lives, because He is the one thing that remains constant. Come on, we have to have a sense, I'm not looking for peace elsewhere. I'm not running off to find peace somewhere else. I'm not running off to find peace and satisfaction and making money or being in a certain relationship or chasing this opportunity or this thing or that. I'm staying in the boat with Jesus, because our temptation is always to drift towards something else, but we're going to remain in Christ, the one thing that's constant in our lives. And that's how you find peace in uncertain times. Here's the third idea. The third thing is this. How do we experience the peace of God in the uncertain times that we're living in? Number three, we cultivate an overcomer spirit. We cultivate an overcomer spirit. Here's what Jesus said to his disciples in verse 33. He said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. Read this out loud with me. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Like, don't even worry about this whole situation, because no matter what you face in this world, no matter how bad it gets, I've actually overcome this world. We know that Jesus, he went to the cross, but he resurrected and he conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave. We know he's coming back. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. So no matter what happens with this whole thing, Jesus says, I've actually overcome this world. Like, God is in control. Can I just encourage you this morning, church? God is in control. Can I just tell you that God is not caught by surprise by the coronavirus? Like, God wasn't up in heaven, you know, like I was focused on other things. And, you know, all of a sudden when I was focused on the Democratic primary and who's going to get the nomination, all of a sudden, you know, things sprung up in China and ended up in America. And he's surprised. God is not surprised. It is hard to surprise an all-knowing God. God is sovereign. He's in control. And so I love this, because biblical faith is not wishful thinking. So many times there are people, you know, outside the church, and even Christians get this wrong, and they think that people of faith are just kind of gullible, and, you know, it's just, we're just super positive people, and faith is just wishful thinking. But really, what I love about biblical faith is it works in real life, because it's not based on everything being perfect. It's not based on circumstances and just positive and wishful thinking. It's based on a holy confidence in who God is, what He's done, and what He will do. We we know who God is. We know his character. We know that he's a loving God, a God of grace, a God of mercy. We know what he's done for us in Christ and what he's promised to do. And so we place our hope in him. It's not hope that maybe somehow, somewhere, God, you're up there. It's not this kind of, you know, wishful thinking. It's a holy confidence in who God is. That's what it is. And so we have to have this sense, I'm not going to lose faith just because I'm experiencing difficulties. I'm not going to lose faith in times of trouble. I'm going to hold on to God. Remember that peace is not the absence of conflict. It's the presence of the goodness of God. God, I'm holding on to your peace. God, I'm holding on to your shalom, the wholeness of God, the goodness of God, even when things around me aren't perfect. I'm holding on to the one who overcame and who's given me the spirit of an overcomer. Jesus told the disciples, I'm going back to the Father, but this is actually good for you because I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit that is your comforter. He is your counselor, and he's given you the spirit of an overcomer. I'm just going to tell you right now, our world needs some Christians who are overcomers. Our world could use a few Christians who have some hope. We got a shortage of hope right about now. And right about now, what our world could use are some Christians who are full of hope. As I was studying this past week, I came across this scripture that just spoke to me. I love the scripture. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, he said, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love this scripture. The Apostle Paul, you know, he's praying for the Roman Christians, and I believe this is a promise we can grab a hold of today. And he says, I pray that you'd be so filled, like so filled with joy and peace as you trust in Jesus during this time, that you wouldn't just have enough hope for yourself, but that hope would actually overflow from your life into someone else's life. We got a shortage of hope right now. The shelves are bare when it comes to hope. And I think we need some Christians who have enough hope to go around. Come on, we have enough hope to share with our neighbors and our friends and people who are in need all around us. Come on, let's set off an epidemic of hope. Let's let hope go viral during this time. You know, I was reading this past week about something fascinating that happened in the Roman Empire. I was reading about the early Christians and how they responded to an epidemic that hit the Roman Empire, and it was a plague called the Antonine Plague. This actually broke out in Rome in about 165 AD. Historians tell us that the Roman legions, they traveled back from the east and they brought this disease with them to the Roman Empire. And we're not exactly sure what the cause was. Historians conjecture that maybe it was a smallpox or measles. And so there was this first outbreak in 165 AD. And then less than 100 years later, there was a second outbreak. And it was really bad. At the height of this thing, 5,000 people per day were dying in the city of Rome. In some parts of the empire, historians estimate that that the death rate was up to 30%. Even the emperor, there's very strong speculation that the emperor himself died because of this disease that was going around. Things were bad. And you can imagine during that time, people were isolating, people were fleeing the cities. But one population shined during this time, and it was the early Christians. The early Christians did the opposite. They ran to people. They nursed and they cared for each other. They cared for the sick. And it's believed that the death rate was much lower among the Christian population and that many people who weren't even believers, pagans during that time, were nursed back to health by the early Christians because of their care, because they did the opposite and they ran to people during this time. And one historian actually believes that around the end of the first century, there was only about 0.4% of the population was Christian. But by the end of this epidemic, 20% of the population was Christian, because Christianity had spread like wildfire because people saw the difference that Christians made during this time as they rose up, as they shined the light of the love of Christ to people during this time of need. Let me just ask you this morning, church, what if the current outbreak is actually an opportunity to spread a pandemic of hope? What if this current situation that we find ourselves in is actually an opportunity? What if followers of Jesus Christ right now in the spring of 2020 were filled with the love of God that casts out all fear, so much so that we leverage that love to spread a pandemic of hope? Come on, let's set hope loose. Let's make hope viral. This is not the time to live in fear. This is not the time to just sit around worrying about everything. This isn't the time to be posting negative things on social media, to be going to the grocery stores and hoarding up supplies and cutting old people in line and stockpiling toilet paper. No, no, no. This is the time to be a voice of encouragement. This is the time to be a voice of reassurance. This is the time to be a voice of love and hope to people around us who are in need. And I know right now it's kind of odd because the very best thing we can do to love our neighbor is to put some distance between ourselves and other people right now. That's the best way we can love people. But you know, you can also love people by getting on your phone and texting somebody, by calling somebody up, by reaching out to somebody, by being a voice of love, by looking out for people, by checking on your neighbors around you. When you go to the store, looking out for that elderly person, somebody might have something you need. And you're gonna find out in the coming weeks and days that maybe you have an abundance of something that someone needs from you. Maybe it's what you've stored up spiritually. Maybe people are gonna need your hope and your love and your joy and your peace. Come on, let's let hope overflow from our lives. Let's have enough hope for ourselves that it overflows from us to bless someone else in need right now. Let's be the church of Jesus Christ. When things get dark, the light only shines brighter. The light only shines brighter. I'm already praying about how God's going to use us, how God's going to give us an opportunity to respond to people in need during this time. You know, I remember back during the days of Hurricane Katrina, how it seemed like the very worst of times, but it became a great opportunity for us as a church to get out and meet people where they were in their need and just to love on people. And there were so many opportunities just to touch people in tangible ways. And as I look back now, it was one of my favorite times of ministry because we just got the opportunity just to love and bless others. And I'm believing God is going to give us opportunities. When all of this settles down in the coming weeks and months, there's going to be an opportunity for us to step up and love our community, to step up and serve those in our community who are hurting. There's gonna be a lot of people hurting financially coming out of this. There's gonna be people who have lost someone, people who have gotten sick, and there's gonna be a great opportunity for us to make a difference in our community and to share the love of Jesus Christ. And so my prayer for you is the prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed to the Romans. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me pray for you this morning, church. I want to pray that you would experience this very thing. Some of you right now, this is very real for you. You've been dealing with anxiety. You've been dealing with fear. The what ifs of life have been flooding your mind. We're all dealing with uncertainty right now. I pray that you would find strength, reassurance, trust in the one thing that's certain in our lives, our Savior, our peace, Jesus Christ. And I pray that your hope would overflow to others. Why don't you pray with me? Father, we thank you right now that you're with us. God, we thank you that you're sovereign, that you're in control, that nothing rattles you, nothing shakes you, none of this has caught you by surprise, but God, you're with us. And Father, right now we pray for those who might be experiencing anxiety and fear. Lord, we pray that you would be with them right now in a very real way. God, we thank you that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, can guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, that we would have a sense that you're with us. Now, Father, I'm praying that we as your people would rise up. That, Father, we'd be so filled with your joy, so filled with your peace, that our hope would overflow to others who are in need all around us. God, put somebody on our heart, somebody that we can text, somebody that we can call, a neighbor that we can check on, a brother or sister in Christ, a friend, somebody else that we can be a voice of encouragement to them. Father, may our hope overflow. May the light shine brighter in the darkness. Do it through us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.